Well, obviously, you guys probably do remember the title of the series that we're in, obviously, now. Don't Let Go. And guys, I cannot tell you how crucial that simple phrase is, don't let go. Don't let go of every little word that God has ever, it's not little, but every word that God has ever spoken to you, don't let it go. Like, hang on to it for dear life, because your life depends on it. And so I want to just real quick recap you guys. If you weren't here last week, I'm going to try to recap you as quick as I can to kind of get you up to where we're at right now in this story. But we're talking about the story of the Israelites and how they basically came to the place flowing with milk and honey. And it all started simply with a promise being given to Abraham. Abraham was promised that he was going to have as many descendants as the sands on the seashore. That's a lot of descendants. And that's what he was promised that was going to happen for him. Now, at that time, he's getting very old, and his wife is very old, and God does a miraculous work and ends up having that. They end up having, and they're both right around 100 years old, and they end up having a baby at that age. And guys, at that time, it was still just as crazy as it would be today. I mean, nobody even attempts it usually beyond like, or even capable of doing it usually beyond like 45. Like, it becomes something that you're just like, no way. Well, when God says something, you got to hang on to it and you got to grab a hold of it and believe it with all your heart, no matter what it sounds like. Because if you will believe it, if you will believe what God has spoken in your heart, it's going to come to pass. And Abraham's kind of living proof of that. So anyway, Abraham ends up having a child. The child is Isaac. Isaac ends up having a son, two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob ends up having 12 kids. He ends up getting the blessing. So Jacob ends up having 12 kids. Out of the 12 kids, you have the son, one of his sons named Joseph. The brothers get jealous because Joseph was given the coat of many colors, and he was also given dreams by God that of his brothers basically kind of bowing down to him. And so he tells his brothers kind of get jealous. And so then he's out in the field. They end up selling him into slavery, because they basically wanted to trick their dad into thinking that he was done and he was gone. And so that way, because they were so jealous of him, they sell him into slavery. Then what happens? What is one of the verses in the New Testament that says, whatever a man sows, that he also will reap, and God will not be mocked. This is a principle that has been true from day one, and it's still true today. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. And so what happens to the brothers? Well, each and every one of them and their tribes get sold into slavery. And so then they're in slavery for a very long time, them and all their descendants. They're in slavery for a very long time. Then finally God calls Moses to set them free. And so Moses goes in, does 10 plagues. They end up, finally the Pharaoh eventually lets them go. They go across the Red Sea. Now they don't just go across the Red Sea. Guys, we're talking about a sea. Just like you guys know Missouri River, or just maybe some river around here, and the way you know that maybe, I'm talking a big one, okay? Like the biggest one you can think of, whether it's a river or whatever, it doesn't matter. I can think of Missouri River right now, and it would blow my mind if it was completely flowing and out of nowhere, all of a sudden, just because a man raises his staff, the seas build up walls, and not only do they just build up walls, but they actually walk across on dry land in that moment. They didn't sit there for 2 or 3 months waiting for it to dry up. In a moment, the man stretches out his staff and the sea split. The Red Sea splits, which is way bigger than a river. But it splits and they walk across on dry land. That's a miracle that blows your mind. But here's what happens. They get across the Red Sea. 3 days later, they're complaining. They're complaining, saying, why did you bring us out here? Because all of a sudden they don't have food for 3 days. And they're going, why did you bring us out here? Why? Like, just to starve us to death? We would rather go back to slavery. Now, you think that sounds crazy? But some of you guys are doing the very same thing they did. God is ready to set you free. And God is ready to do some miraculous things in your life. If he's not already done it already, which he has. In every single one of our lives, there are miracles happening around us all the time. And some of us are just, we're just not giving him the credit. We're just saying, well, that's just normal. That's just what happens. I've seen it. No, there's miracles happening to get you to the point where you're at all the time. And so some of us in that same situation, God's setting us free. I know I was in this situation. God set me free, like sets me free. He gives me this, like just tells me basically that I can be free from lust when all the world says you can't, especially here in America, it says it's impossible. There's no way you can be free from lust. There's no way. Not with every picture that flies up, with every thought that's around. There's no way. This is impossible. But I've struggled with it where I ended up getting in a victory, and then before you know it, because you're just, you're not getting what you want, you're not pleasing your flesh, you're not getting the desires of your heart, all of a sudden you're going, well, it's just better if I just go back to doing it. Because at least I get pleased, at least I get some moments of, you know, pleasure. And so every one of us are faced with these decisions. Sometimes, maybe some of you guys are giving up the secular music, maybe some of you guys are giving up different things, and you go a little time without it, but then you go, I just don't know how to have fun, I don't know how to like... I don't know what to do at home if I can't listen to secular music. I don't know what, like, I don't even know, like, what's the point? And you just go right back to it because you don't know any better. Guess what? You're just like them. Going back to something that actually is going to hold you captive and keep you from going to the place that God wants you. Now, here's the part in the story where I want to get to and start going from. So they get across, and then Moses ends up sending 12 spies into the land of Canaan. Now, here's the part that I forgot to tell you as far as in this real quick, but I told you last week. Abraham, God pulled Abraham out, and he took him to a place away from his mom and dad, took him to this place, and what he did is he took him to Canaan, and he basically took him there and said, hey, this is the land that I'm going to give your descendants. Now, this is, again, we went through that whole process, but now finally, they're seeing this truth that God gave them, that God gave Abraham and promised him that his people were going to be in this land. And Abraham had to hold on to the promise in order to see it come to pass. And some of you guys are going to have to do that. I just want to throw this out there. Guys, girls, because it's even girls now today. That's where it's come. You can do it in America without lust. You can do it. And I want to tell you, just like Joshua, and here's what happens. Moses sends the 12 spies into Canaan, and they send them in there, and then the 12 spies come back. And here's what happens. 10 of them, they just state the facts. They just state, just like everybody else around you maybe is telling you, there's no way you can do it in America. There's just no way that you can actually live a life full of purity. There's no way. There's too much impurity all around you. It's impossible. But there's 10 of those spies that come back preaching the same message that maybe you guys are hearing out there, that it's impossible. There's no way. You must be gay. If you're not looking at any other girls, you must be gay. If you're not looking at any other guys, you must be gay. Like, that's the way it's going right now. That's the message that I've heard from tons of different people. They think it's impossible, and if you are doing it, they automatically label it some other impurity. But you can do it. This is a land, like, you can do it here. I believe it with all my heart. And I want to be just like Joshua and Caleb, because they were two of the 12 that came back saying, we can do this. If God is with us, we can do this. And guys, that's my question to you guys. Which one of those spies are you? Are you going into your school and telling them there's no way, there's no hope, there's no chance that we can actually have victory in whatever area that you want to have victory in? Or are you one of the 12, are you one of the two that said, no, we can do this. I believe in God, and everything He says is true. And He already told me that this is ours. So we just have to believe. They saw the same thing. You all are going to see the same thing out there. All 12 of those spies saw the exact same thing. Two of them chose to believe God more than what they were seeing. The other ones chose to believe what they were seeing more than God. Because remember, God is not a liar. So the moment He told Abraham it was going to happen, it was a done deal. You could actually live the rest of, Abraham could live the rest of his life knowing, if you know God and you understand that He's not a liar, He's never lied, ever. If you understand that, you could live the rest of your life just knowing it's going to happen. Maybe you don't know how, but you know it's going to happen. Because He said it. And so they get to this, they come back saying, hey, we can do this. God is for us, like, we can do this. So then they go, and all, like, they go through some different little battles and things in the wilderness, but then they finally come to the point where Moses ends up passing away, and he doesn't get to go into the land with them because he ended up doing a sin that God was not okay with. And so he ends up doing something that messes his chances of going in there up, And so then Joshua is the one chosen. And why was he chosen? Because he believed. He believed that they could do it when it looked impossible. Guys, you're going to be chosen if you could just simply believe when it looks impossible. If you'll just believe that it's possible because God said it, then you're going to be the one chosen to walk it out and show how it's done. But if you don't want to believe, then you're going to be one stuck back and you're going to be wishing and like, man, why didn't I just simply believe? Guys, if you just simply believe, God will take you guys into lands flowing with milk and honey. And that looks all kinds of different. Every victory looks a little different, but it's a land flowing of milk and honey is what a victory is. And so they get to the, they're getting ready to go in, okay? Now God is very specific with Joshua. Like he is to be meditating on his word and he is to be setting it in front of his eyes. He is to be going over his commandments nonstop. Like this is what he wants Joshua doing. And so Joshua is obedient in that. So they go into Jericho. Now, guys, I cannot tell you this enough. Some of the strategies that God's going to give you guys to get through situations that you're in, they might sound ridiculous. They might sound crazy. Let me tell you the quick battle of Jericho. God tells them, tells Joshua, this is how I want you to do it. I want you to go into the city, and I want you to march. At that time, they had walls built up to protect their city from enemies. And so he says, I want you to go to the city, and I want you to march around the city for the first 6 days. I want you to march around it one time each day for 6 days. Then on the seventh time, on the seventh day, I want you to march around it six times. And then on the seventh time when you march around it, I want you to start blowing the trumpets and shouting. And so they go, they do it, they do exactly what he says, and the walls come crumbling down. Guys, another amazing miracle happening right before their eyes. Have you guys ever seen that? Ever? I mean, people talk about people with bad voices, if they sing really loud, like they screech it or whatever, they break glass, which is not even true. It doesn't even, it never happens. But can you imagine? We're not even talking about glass. We're talking about walls that were built to like keep enemies out. Not just some joke of a wall. We're talking about true walls, and God uses just them shouting to bring the walls down. What strategy might he give you against the different things that you guys got going on if you'll just go to him? If you'll just spend time with him? Because see, that's what Joshua was doing this entire time. Just spending time with him. Just talking with him. Just meditating on what he's already said. Some of you guys think, man, that's not good. Like, you won't ever get strategies like that if you're not willing to meditate on what he's already said. You're not going to know his voice. You're not going to know his capabilities if you don't meditate on what he's already said and grab a hold of what he's already said. Guys, Joshua and Caleb had the same eyes as those other 10 guys. They had the same exact eyes. The only difference was they knew that God was bigger. They knew God. And this is the only way you guys are going to end up telling your friends different things. Whenever there's little things that your friends are going, there's no way you can do that. That's impossible. The only way you're going to tell them it's possible is if you know how possible God is and what he's capable of doing. And then when he gives you a crazy strategy, you're going, yep, this is God. Because this is not going to give me any credit and any glory. So this is definitely God. He's going to get all the credit, all the glory, and all the honor for this. And so then they go into Jericho and they win. Now here's the part I want to really stress to you guys, because I've experienced this. God gives you a strategy and you get a win. You get a victory. Now let me tell you something with the lust thing, I want to kind of show you guys like a little example of what I kind of relate it to. Jericho to me is almost like secular music. Okay? Because God actually wants to give me victory over the entire thing. He does not want to just give me victory over Jericho and stop there. He wants to give me all that he's promised. And here's what even brought me in searching out this story, is the fact that when God says it, it's a done deal. And so I'm thinking, you know, Jesus said on that cross, it is finished. Why do we even have to go to battle? If he said it's finished, why do we have to battle for healing? Why do we have to battle for victory over lust? Why do we have to battle for victory in whatever area, the addictions? Why do we have to battle? If he said it's finished, why do we have to battle? And it's this very same thing that God has shown me with this, taking me back to this story in the Old Testament. It's because they got to know who God was through each and every single battle. And God wasn't just interested in just giving them the land. He wanted them to conquer the land. He wanted them to have victory over the entire land. And that's what God is wanting for each and every one of you. He doesn't want to just say, give you victory over it, so that way you can go around bragging and say, I have victory over lust and I don't struggle with it. No, that's not what He's wanting you to do. He wants you to actually win the entire thing and understand how He does it. So that way when you get into the land and you get into victory, you're worshiping Him and you're not worshiping you. That's what it's all about. You'll end up worshiping Him as you go through battle upon battle. So I compare the city of Jericho, to me, I almost compare that to a simple thing of secular music. Because it's something that it's a part of that lust. It's a part of what drives it. Because you're constantly, guys, I gave this to Tommy this morning. The reason why secular music is wrong, the reason, the concept behind it, why it's so wrong. It's not just because it's not the Christian thing to do. And if you're going to say, well, it's bad. Well, why is it bad? What makes it bad? You need to think, like, what is it that really makes it bad? Let me tell you. Because the devil knows God's not a liar. The devil knows God's word is always for sure and it's always going to be true. The devil knows this. And so what does he do? He uses his word. And here's what he uses. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so if you go over a secular thought, if he can make a secular thought sound really good to you, if he can make you think that a thought that is against the Bible and that does not line up with the Bible sounds good, he'll get you to repeat it over and over again. That's the only reason why you're listening to the song, because it sounds good. But guess what? The devil knows there's another reason he's got hidden in there. Because he knows if you go over the same thought over and over again, it will change your life. It will change your actions. And so he makes it sound good. Have you guys ever listened to a secular song that sounded horrible again and again and again and again? One that sounded so bad to you? No, it usually doesn't even make the radio station. Because nobody's going to want to listen to it. So he has to make it sound good so that way you'll want to listen to it. And before you know it, you're renewing your mind over and over with the same thought that it is going against what God has told you. That's what makes secular music wrong. Because it's going to change your life. And so that's the first, I feel like that was a battle of Jericho, okay? So God gave me victory over it. Now, here's the tendency, just so you guys know. When God gives you victory over something, sometimes you're so pumped and you're so excited about what God has done that all of a sudden you start to go, man, no matter what we do, we're just going to get victory. Like, we just go right into this. And so then you think nothing else matters what you do. You think that's the only thing that matters. Well, I've done listening to secular music, so I don't have to worry about lust no more. It's good. Like, it's all mine. Like, for sure. Like, this victory is mine. And then all of a sudden, you just think you can do it on your own. And so you just, instead of going to God and saying, okay, God, what's the next battle? You've given me this victory. Now, what's the next thing we're to face together? How do we do this? How do I go at this next battle, and what is it? How do I go at it, and what do you want me to do? But here's what happens. Let's go to Joshua. So they go into Joshua 7, or was it 6? It might have been 6. 6, 7 through 13. Okay, so they go into that battle. They go into the next battle, and they end up losing. And Joshua right away is thinking, what in the world? And I've done this. I've experienced this. I've had a victory, and then I go into it, and I'm just going 3 or 4 or 5 months, 6 months without doing it. And all of a sudden, I'm going, I ended up falling back into it, and I'm going, God, where, why? Like, why did, I thought this was it. I thought this was going to give me the victory. And he's going, no, I'm the one that gave the victory. So you need to talk with me, and I'll keep showing you all, step by step, how to conquer this entire land. So here's what Joshua's response is. And guys, I cannot encourage you enough to have a similar thought. Now, you're going to see that there's some wrong in this. Then Joshua tore his clothes after his men lost, because they sent 3,000 men to that next battle, saying, oh, they're like, it's a little bitty town. We can take this. We don't need very many. We might as well not make everybody like wore out, so let's just send 3,000 men into it. They send 3,000 men into it, 36 of them get killed, and the rest of them are fleeing because they were being overtaken. And so Joshua 7:6, this is Joshua's response. Then Joshua tore his clothes, and he fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side." You're going to be tempted to think this way. If I would have just been content, why did I want to try to possess more victory? Why did I want to go after seeing all that God has to offer me? Why didn't I just get content with the victory that He gave me? Why didn't I just stay right there? Because you need these other ones to actually have that one completely. Because if they just stayed in Jericho, their enemies would surround and they would demolish them. They needed to possess more. Guys, you need to have a want for more of God. A want for more of what He wants for you. You can't just ever get satisfied with it. And so then, sorry, go back real quick. I got to read that last part. Oh no, sorry, we did. Okay, go ahead. Dwelt on the other side. "Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned." This is so simple. You know why He's saying get up? Like, what are you doing? Because He already made the promise, and He's not a liar. The promise has already been made that they're going to be victorious, that this land is theirs. So it's not about going back. It's about coming to God and saying, "Okay, God, I know what You said, and I know You're not a liar. So what went wrong? What do we need to do? What happened?" Then God doesn't need to say the first part. Then He just says, "Israel sinned. And I'm going to show you who did it." And so that's what actually the next few verses. And for the sake of time, we're going to skip through those next few verses. Let's go to actually Joshua 8. Joshua 8:1. "Now the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, and arise, go up to Ai, and see, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land.'" So he's going to, now that he got things right, and here's what they had to do to make things right, just so you guys know how brutal it was. And some of you guys, you might, to make things right with God, He might ask you to do some things. But let me tell you something, it's worth it because there's a victory behind it. There's a victory that God's wanting to give you if you'll just do what He's told you to do. And what He ends up telling them to do was, there was one that took some of the stuff from Jericho, that previous battle. There was one of the Israelites that took something from it, and God told them to not touch any of it. They were to leave it destroyed. But one saw this worthy stuff, and he took it. And then before you know it, the next battle they lose because they didn't listen to God's commandment. So they call this one forward. They stone this one. They stone him to death, but not just him. All of his possessions and his kids. Stone them to death. Guys, God wants to give you total victory. He does not want to just give you partial. Because if you just have partial, you don't have it yet. Because you're going to end up getting overtaken by the enemy at some point. He wants to give you total victory. And if you'll listen to Him step by step, He will get you to a land of rest. He will get you to that place where you actually rest in His victory and what He did. All right, let's skip ahead to Joshua. I believe it's in 20-something. The first one, Joshua 21 maybe, I think it is. All right, Joshua 21, 45. "Now, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." Every single word God spoke, not a single one failed. Guys, this is true for you. Every single word that you read in that New Testament, and it's throughout the entire Bible, but even specifically in the New Testament, with where we're at right now, every single word that He spoke over us is ours, and it will not fail. It will come to pass. All you have to do is simply believe it. Let's go to Joshua 22. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren, as He promised them. Now therefore, return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to keep His commandments, to hold fast to Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Guys, this is the same commandment that He's given each and every one of us. If we'll just keep doing this, we're going to keep possessing more land. We're going to keep possessing more victories. But this is where we have to get into. This is where we have to go. Guys, this is where I'm just going to end it. Throw it, Proverbs 24. Throw that one. I believe it's Proverbs 24. Verse 16. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Guys, it's okay if you fall. As long as your heart is right before God, that you don't desire to just stay where you're at. As long as your heart is right before God, and you just know that, because, guys, the Israelites, they fell. They fell at Ai, the Battle of Ai. They fell there. But a righteous man is described as one that gets back up again. And if you guys, whatever the battle is, whatever the promise of the Lord is that you're hanging on to, whatever that promise is, when you fall, don't stay down. Just say, God, where did I mess up? What other things are you wanting to do in my life? Show me. Show me where I started to fall so that way I don't do it again. Guys, it really is simple. There's nothing you're going to do that shocks God. There's nothing. You guys would be surprised. You know, sometimes the reality is, I don't handle things rightly sometimes. The reality is, you can tell me something and I might act shocked. I might end up telling you something or doing something to you in a way that you go, like, it makes you not want to do it again because I give you the way I respond to you is in shock. Like, you would do that? Like, why would you do that? Da 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 da. I know I do it to my kids sometimes. But can I tell you this? This is for sure true. I'm really not shocked. I'm really not shocked. And when I know that I'm not shocked with what my kids are telling me, the different things that maybe they do or something, if I'm not shocked by what they do, I guarantee you God is thinking the same thing about you guys. He knows the battles. That's why Jesus came. He experienced everything that we could experience, and He has compassion towards us. Know Him. Because if you know Him, guys, you're going to run to Him. It's whenever you don't know Him very well that keeps you from wanting to go to Him and keeps you from wanting to tell Him. But when you get to know Him, you're going to tell Him because He's got all the answers. He knows how to get you back to victory. He knows how to get you right back to the place that you wanted to go in the first place. I cannot encourage you guys enough. Just tell Him. And then if He lays on your heart to go tell a leader or go to tell somebody that you can trust, go tell them. God is, if you know in your heart, you're going to have victory over it, like God has promised it. And if you don't know in your heart, just read the Bible and I promise you're going to end up finding it out. He's got victory for you. But just go talk. It's not that big of a deal. Your confession will be made unto salvation. Every single one of you need to know that. Your confession will be made unto salvation. If you truly want salvation, go confess it. And it will be changed in that. And you can know that as a promise. The moment you have that boldness to go confess it to somebody, you can know you're going to be made, it's going to be made unto salvation, which means you're going to have victory. So hang on to that promise because you're going to have some more battles. But hang on to that promise. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, nobody looking around.